Wonderful. Have a seat, everybody. We're going to move on to our Bible readings now. So Elsie is going to come and read in English, and Ali is going to come and read in Farsi. So the reading is John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of me, and I will remain in me. When you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
All right. So, Father, we pray that you'd help us now to hear your voice as we explore some of the themes of that passage. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd come and fill us, that we might know your presence with us, your love for us, and your word, which has power to transform our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So, kids, who enjoyed their Christmas holidays? Pretty much everyone. Good. Okay. Who's back at school now? Everyone. Everyone's back at school. Okay. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Thumb scale? How do you think about Harry, how do you feel about being back at school? Thumbs up from Harry. Excellent. Debbie, how do you feel about being back at school? Like that for Debbie. Kids. We got a selection of things. Okay. All right, so it's not easy. It's not easy going back to school after the school holidays, is it? What's the hardest thing? What's the hardest thing about going back to school? Getting up in the morning. Yeah. Yeah. Addy, what's the hardest thing for you about going back to school? You can't sleep in school. Because your teachers are so good. And they're so interesting. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. Harry. What do you reckon? What's the hardest thing about going back to school for you? Nothing. Is it all good? Harry's enjoying it. That's brilliant, Harry. I'm really pleased about that. Thing is, I find, anyway, I remember this from when I was at school. And I remember it now as well when you get back into work. You've had time off. You've had time to relax. Time to stay in bed for as long as you want. Spend the day in your pajamas if you want to. Who does that? Yeah, okay, a few of us. Oh, you can just be chilling, playing, spending time with your family, watching TV. Brilliant, isn't it? But then the holidays come to an end, and what happens? You're straight back into the busyness of life, aren't you? Getting up early, putting your uniform on, rushing to school or to work, working hard all day. You come home tired, and then, if you're really unlucky, you have to do your homework. Anybody got any homework? Zach and Addy have homework. Yeah, and Harry has a bit of homework. Yeah, oh, homework sucks, doesn't it? Really does. Kids, well, kids, can I let you into a secret? It doesn't get any better as you get older. Okay. Adults, have any of you found yourselves rushed off your feet since the end of the Christmas holidays? Nobody? Yeah, okay. Well, give me some. There we go. A few of us have. Okay. See, life can be fairly full on at times, can't it? Life can be hectic. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves rushing from one thing to the next, and our minds constantly occupied with the things that we need to do. Getting to work or getting the kids to school, going from one appointment to the other, cleaning the house, doing the shopping, paying the bills, meeting our friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. And we can find ourselves feeling weighed down and worn out, can't we? And sometimes we look back on our day or on our week or our month or even on our year, as we were doing a couple of weeks ago, and we can ask ourselves the question, what have I actually achieved? What have I done with my life this last day, week, month, or year, or whatever? Because we all want our lives to mean something, don't we? We all want our lives to have significance. And lots of people today have this sense that there has to be more to life than busily rushing around from one thing to the next. And as Christians, we know, don't we, that to be truly fulfilled in life, we need to know God, right? We need to experience his love and to delight in his presence. Problem is that we get preoccupied, don't we? We get preoccupied with all the things that we have to do, and so preoccupied that if we're not careful, God gets squeezed out to the edges of our lives. So maybe we think about him in the morning when we get up, or just last thing at night as we pray before sleep, or when we come on a Sunday morning, or maybe we've got a home group. But other than that, God is sort of squeezed out to the edges because we get so busy. Or maybe that's not your experience of life right now. Perhaps you're at a time in your life when you're prevented from doing the things that you'd like to do. And you're longing to have some purpose, some reason to get out of bed in the morning. But whatever your life is like right now, what if there were a way to experience God deeply in every part of your life? Not just when you're in church or in times of prayer at home. What if in every part of your life, wherever you are, you could experience God deeply? What kind of a difference would that make in your life? What if you could discover how to experience God's presence when you're busy at school or at work? Or if you're stuck at home, or when you're playing with your friends, doing your shopping or your housework, whatever else it is you do each day, wouldn't that be amazing? Well, the good news is that there is a way and that you can experience that. And over the next 12 weeks, we're going to be exploring how we can do that. And we're going to begin with something that Jesus said in our reading from John's Gospel this morning, because it was all about how to have a fruitful life, the kind of life that we all long for. But before we get into that passage again, we're going to play a little game. And this little game involves a blindfold, which I forgot to bring. Anybody got anything we could use as a... Morris is... Oh, look at this. Brilliant. Two. Yeah, Chris and Morris. Okay. We need two volunteers, please. Two volunteers. Kids would be great. Come on, kids. Yeah, okay. Say again. Angel. Where's Angel? Do you want to be a volunteer, Angel? No? Okay, who wants to be a volunteer? Addy, do you want to be a volunteer? Oh, Angel. Is Angel coming? Come on, Angel. Right, okay. Brilliant. And Emmanuel. Right. So... Can I put this blindfold on you, Manuel? Yeah? Okay. Now, hang on. Do you want to be on... You're on this side, okay? You're the representative of this team, okay? This is... Okay, you are Team Emmanuel. Okay, Team Emmanuel. Okay. That's it. God is with us, absolutely. Right. Can you see anything? You can? What can you see? A scarf? Whoa, careful. Don't do it. Don't go anywhere. Stand still. Can you see anything? Yeah. What can you see? How many fingers am I holding up? No. Huh? Okay, you can't see anything. Good. Right. You stand there. Okay. And now, come over this side a little bit. I'll move this out of the way. Okay. This is Angel. So we've got Team Emmanuel. Team Angel. Okay, Team Angel. Right, ready. Let's put this blindfold on. Don't move, Emmanuel. Stay perfectly still. Can you see anything, Angel? No? Okay, right, okay, so I've got a box of mystery here, okay, and this box of mystery has got objects in it, okay. I'm going to bring out an object, I'm going to give it to you to hold, okay, and then you've got to, without saying anything, because you don't want the other person to hear, you've got to work out what this object is just by feeling it, and then when I ask you, you're going to tell us, okay, but don't say anything until I ask you, okay. Here is the first object. Shh. Okay, first object. Hold your hands out. There's the first object, okay? Okay, right? You got that? Don't say anything. Oh, hang on. Right, are you ready, Manuel? Hands out. Hold your hands out in front of you. There you go. Here's your object. What's this one, Emmanuel? Don't say it yet. Work it out. Can you work out what it is? Have you got an idea what it is? No, okay. No idea? Okay, that's unfortunate. Huh? Go on, what is it? An egg. Is it an egg? Not quite. It's the size of an ostrich egg, but it's not quite right. Good effort. Well done. Good guess. Not quite right. Okay. Angel, what is it? A melon. Hooray. So that's 1 point. 1 point to team Angel. Okay. Next one. Oh, it's going to get a bit harder. Okay. Oh dear, oh, you squeezed that a bit hard. Any idea? Okay, let's see if I've got an unsquashed one for, I've got a spare, there we go. You ready? Hands out in front of you. Here's the other one. Any idea what that is? Oh, you're smelling it, that's a good idea. Any idea? No. I'm going to have to hurry you. Take your first answer. What is it? Is it another egg?
No.
You're not sure. Okay. Kiwi fruit.
Kiwi
fruit. Okay. Yeah, good. Okay, well done. Well done. So that's 2 points for Team Angel and 1 point for Team Emmanuel so far. Good. Okay. Next one. Okay, let's try this one. Okay, don't say it yet. Okay, you got it? Let's see if Emmanuel knows what it is. Hands out in front of you, Emmanuel. Next one. What's that? Okay. Say again? Okay, what do you think it is? Yes, both right. Okay, good. Okay. Well done. Okay, here's another one. This is really hard. Okay, well, you're going to find out. We'll do you first then. Ready? Keep your eyes closed. Right, what's that one?
It's apple.
Good guess. Let's see if it is. What is it? Oh, you're neither of you right, unfortunately. This is passion fruit. It's a passion fruit. Ah. Should we go a bit easier this time? Okay, ready? Next one. Don't say anything. Okay, you're probably going to get this. Right, hands out. Don't say anything yet. That's it. Smell test again. Shh. Don't say anything. Okay. Okay, Angel, ready? Oh. Grapes. You say grapes. What do you say? Grapes. It is grapes. All right. Okay, well done. You can take your blindfolds off. Well done. So the final score is 2 points to Team Emmanuel. Three points to Team and 4 points to Team Angel. Hey, well done. Have a seat again. Well done. Okay, fantastic. Can I say that? There we go. Thank you. Right, excellent. Put my magic, my box of mysteries away. You found it? Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Right, so bonus point, okay, for anyone who can tell me, what do all these items have in common? Okay. You can eat them. Well, the fruits. The fruits, yeah, a bit more than that. So again, they've got seeds inside. They do have seeds inside. I'm talking about, thinking about something a little bit more specific. They're all mentioned in the Bible. Passion fruit, kiwi fruit. Kiwi fruit, I'm not sure about kiwi fruit. They've all got skin on. Come on. They all grow above ground. I'm sure you said it before, but I was just waiting to have some other answers. What was the first answer you gave? All right, so I'll give you a clue. They're all grown on the vine. They're all, did you know that? We know that grapes are grown on vines. Did you know that passion fruit and melons and kiwi fruit and cucumber, they're all grown on vines? So who says you don't come to church and learn anything? There we go. Jesus said something about vines in our reading this morning. Can anyone remember what Jesus said about a vine in particular? What did he say? I am the true vine, he said in the start of our reading. What do you think Jesus meant by that when he said, thank you, when he said, I am the true vine? What do you think Jesus meant by that? Ooh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Was Jesus saying that he is actually, he might look like a man, but actually he really is a vine, and he's going to grow grapes? Is that what he meant? No, of course not. So what? He's using picture language, isn't he? He's using picture language to describe something really important. It's a metaphor that would have been really familiar to the people of Israel. Because in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were described as a vine which God had planted in the land which he'd given them, and which had grown and spread out, and it was meant to bear fruit. See, God's people were supposed to live lives dedicated to him, to live lives of fruitfulness, to be wholly dedicated to God and his ways, to live a life of perfect obedience, a fruitful life, maybe the kind of life that we long for. And then Jesus says to his followers, I am the true vine, he's saying he is the one who came to live that kind of life. God's people failed to live that kind of life. They didn't live lives of perfect obedience, but Jesus did. And so when he came and said, I am the true vine, he's saying, I am the person who's living the life that you, God's people, were always supposed to live. And then he says to his followers in verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. In other words, he's saying to them, you might have messed up, but you're still part of me. You're still part of the vine. And you know, that is true of us as well. We may have messed up. We have messed up, all of us. But Jesus says that if we've given our lives to him, if we've surrendered to him, then we are the vine too. We're the branches of the vine. We are attached to him. We're part of him. And God wants your life and my life to bear fruit. He wants us he wants our lives to reveal his goodness and his love to the world. That's what it means by bearing fruit. And you know, there is no better and no more fulfilling way of living than that. To live your life in such a way that it reveals God's goodness and love to the world. But for that to happen, Jesus says there's something that you need to do. Can anyone remember what that is? Okay, it's in verse 5. It's on the screen. What do you need to do to live a fruitful life? Remain in me, Jesus says. That's right. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what do you think that Jesus means when he says, remain in me? What do you think, kids? Go on, Elsie. Trust him? Yep. Trust him? Anything else? Go on, Addy. Say again. Be a follower of Jesus? Yes. Excellent. Yeah, that's really important. Be a follower of Jesus? Yep. Anything else? I think those are great answers. But just to unpack them a little bit more, I think what Jesus means is that we should stay close to him so that we can learn how to live like he did, which is what being a follower of Jesus is all about, isn't it? Learning to live like he did. But the problem is, in the busyness and the hecticness of life, it's not always easy to do that, is it? What we need is something that will help us to do that. What we need is, you're thinking a fence? No, a trellis. We need a trellis. Anyone know what a trellis is for? Kids? Yeah, go on, what's a trellis for? Maybe we're not so sure. Okay, go on, Lils. That's right, exactly. If you're growing grapes or melons or cucumbers or passion fruit or kiwi fruit, anything else that grows on a vine, you need something for the vine to grow up, like a trellis. That's what a trellis is for. You know, without a trellis, without something to climb up, the vine will still grow, but where will it grow? Along the ground. And the fruit will still grow, but the fruit will be on the ground. And then what happens? It goes bad. It goes rotten. It decays really quickly. That's right. But if a vine has got a trellis or something else to grow up, what happens to the fruit? It's healthy and it lasts. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be discovering a kind of spiritual trellis, okay? Something which will help us as we grow in our relationship with God and help us to grow fruit that lasts, to have lives which reveal God's goodness and his love to the world. And we're going to call it a framework of fruitfulness. Woo, can we say that together? A framework of fruitfulness. Excellent. I don't think that quite works in Farsi. It might do, but I think maybe they need to find some other alliterative term. Anyway, a framework for fruitfulness. And here it is. It's on the screen now. 12 spiritual practices which we can build into our lives, which will provide a framework or a support system, if you like, for us to grow closer to God and for us to grow the kind of fruit in our lives that will reveal the goodness of God to the world around us and will be fulfilling, the most fulfilling way to live. You'll be relieved to hear that we're not going to go through these 12 spiritual practices now, okay? We're going to finish in a minute. We're going to go through those 12 practices over the next 12 weeks. And Ben is going to kick us off next week with the first one, which is Sabbath, okay? But I just want to finish by saying, if we put these practices that we're going to learn over the next 12 weeks, if we put them into place in our lives, then we're going to learn how to meet with God in our everyday lives. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we'll be able to meet with God so that we can know him, know his love, delight in his love for us, and be transformed by his love in a deeper way so that we'll bear fruit that will last. It's going to be awesome. So please do commit to these next 12 weeks, because you're going to, if these 12 principles speak to you in the way they've spoken to me, you're going to really, really love it. So, for now, let's take a moment in the quiet. Let's just wait on God before we worship again. Maybe, again, you might want to close your eyes. You don't have to, but maybe you want to do that. And as we do that, let's just open our hearts to God and let's allow him to speak to us in whatever way he chooses. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for giving your son Jesus to save us by his life, by his death, and by his resurrection. Thank you, Father, that we're now joined to him. And Lord, we long to live fruitful lives. Father, we want to know you more, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of our lives, whatever we're going through, in the busyness of life, Lord, we want to experience your presence and your goodness. We want your love to transform us so that we will bear fruit for you. So Holy Spirit, please will you come and fill us now. Come Holy Spirit, we pray. If you're feeling frazzled by life, hear these words from Jesus. From Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to encourage you to continue to meet with God at this time. Continue to allow him to speak to you, to minister to your heart, whatever is going on in your life. There's going to be a song that's going to be on the screen that you can sing if you like to. If you want to stand and sing this song, please do. But if you are meeting with God right now and you want to continue that, I would encourage you to continue. Just stay where you are and just continue to receive. But for those who'd like to sing, why don't we stand and sing a couple of songs together.